So this, you begin with, usually you start from the bottom and you move up. Form is the ego linear world of that which we think is real. How do you know that you know that? Because it's registering someplace. How does it register? It registers as a recognition. You recognize a thought, a feeling, a form. You call it doggy, kitty, whatever you want to call it. In meditation, you then come back from the content of what's being witnessed and realize that there's a watcher experiencer. How do you know what's going on in your mind here? Because there's a watcher experiencer that's already a substrate to the content. There's a watcher experiencer. Now, the interesting thing is that all this whole phenomena is going on of its own. And somewhere along in meditation, you realize there is no I doing any of this. There is no I that is recognizing form, naming form. There is a watcher experiencer. There is a, within itself, within awareness, there's an automatic field in which thinkingness, watching, feelingness is happening of its own. Just like protoplasm bleeds on its own. You don't say, I think I will bleed from this wound. Protoplasm does it because that's the nature of protoplasm. You stick it, it recoils, it bleeds. You realize something impersonal is going on. That within mind there is a witness, witnessing all, no matter what the content is. Same witness sees this movie, same witness sees that movie, same witness sees that movie. The witness doesn't change the movie to movie. You stop identifying with form, you stop identifying with this phenomena. Recognition obviously comes out of the past, and you realize that you're the watcher experiencer, and then you begin to look for where does the watcher experiencer coming out of? It's coming out of a more subtle prevailing field. These are called the subtle levels in classic Hindu or whatever spiritual tradition. The subtle bodies. This is physicality, the ego. You start going up through the so-called subtle bodies and through the various chakras in the various subtle bodies. You go to the watcher, the experiencer, which is the third eye of, I forget which body, they've all got wonderful names. And you come to awareness itself. You realize there's only one constant, no matter what's going on, and that's awareness. The content of awareness may shift all the time, but the one basic principle, which is operative always, is awareness. How do you know that? You know because observing and witnessing is going on all the time. Awareness is the nature of the observer witness, and again, that's not personal. It's happening of its own. That which is attending to the lecture is not personal. It's consciousness itself. It has that quality of registering what's going on. So, it doesn't require a personal you at all. The light of consciousness then, you begin to look at consciousness as the substrate of thinkingness, mind, thought, etc. Under the light of consciousness, you begin to sense that there is an overall field, and that is the context out of which you experience your own existence, or experience yourself as existing, which again is a jump in conclusion. Because the reality is that which you are neither exists nor non-exists because it is actually unmanifest. Now, what was the question? the whatness of God, yes. That one is the very substrate of consciousness itself. One is the source out of which the substrate of consciousness arises. That which is the substrate of creation and all that exists is not different than the self of your own existence. And there's the awareness that that which you are is identical with all that is. And that's the realization of God as allness. I don't think we even have that on there. The ultimate reality is the oneness and the allness of existence. That takes you beyond 960. We said 960 was void, in which the ultimate experiential reality is void or non-existence. And then you realize that's an illusion. You transcend, go, you let that go, and you realize that the ultimate reality is the allness. God is the source of the allness of all that exists, the very source of existence itself. If you meditate on existence, if you meditate on the quality of existence itself, you'll automatically get taken to the question of, and a realization of, the source of existence itself. Not existence as this or existence as that, but the fact of existence. How can that which not exists suddenly exist? What in the world would have the infinite power to create the capacity for existence itself? So the basic evidence for the presence of God within you is your own existence. Without divinity, no existence is possible. Because in the beginning, there was only the void, the nothingness and voidness, and there was not. So that which was before the allness of the universes was the infinite potentiality, which in itself was void, void of form. Void of form. Out of the void arose creation. And we've already outlined how evolution is merely the way in which creation brings itself into manifestation. I saw a really interesting program on TV the other night about army ants. Army, you know, you learn all about the ego and human nature and a lot of spiritual information from watching animal programs. Because animal programs reveal so much, and suddenly as you're watching an animal program, you know, you get a profound truth about the reality of life itself. But here are these army ants, and they're very ferocious. They're fearsome. It was the 10 most dangerous animals on the planet. Number one was the army ant, more ferocious than the water buffalo, more ferocious than a killer dog. More ferocious. The most ferocious thing on the planet is an army ant. They are formidable. The only reason we aren't all destroyed by army ants is they're very much smaller than we are. If they were the same size, there wouldn't be any human beings left because they eat everything in their pathway. And they're built as killers. They've got these big giant things that just squish you to death and pierce you to death. And then they got killer tails on them, and they're very, very powerful for their size. And they got these giant jaws. So if these don't get you, these will. And they'll turn around and sting you and knock you out that way. So these army ants are really quite impressive. And they arise by the billions. They eat everything in its path. They eat all living things within their path. And one interesting thing, there's a certain kind of an army ant, a soldier ant, whose abdomen, first of all, these killer ants are very adept at calculating the size of the other army. They can send back scouts and send back signals, and they withdraw. Or if they're more powerful, the scouts will signal, in which case they attack and destroy the other colony. Unlike people who often don't know they've lost the war and make you drop another atom bomb on them before they get the point. So anyway, this army ant in particular, he's a specialist. Specialist third class, right? So his abdomen can grow like this. And at the proper moment, at the right time, he explodes. This army ant explodes, and when he does, he spits this inner toxic, poisonous chemical that he's held within his abdomen. So he commits suicide in order to kill the enemy. And in so doing, brings about, I'm sure, in his own little mind, salvation, right? He gets 9 lady ants on the other side. And you say to yourself, you know, how does this differ from human consciousness at all? It doesn't differ at all. It's identical. Identical thinking, contextualization, techniques even. You blow yourself up to kill the enemy for the sake of winning, your side winning. I mean, this is incredible, isn't it? This little ant knows all this already, and we're just learning it. How can the ant know more than we do? I mean, they know when they're winning and when they're not winning, and when they're not winning, they take off, you know? We hang in until they've slaughtered every last German or Chinaman or whatever, you know. After the war is lost, they throw in more and more legions of soldiers who are then slaughtered in the meat. And how come the ant knows more than that? So I just thought it was interesting because the evolution of consciousness, you see, the visible world of life, animal life, is nothing but the outpicturing of that which has already occurred on the level of consciousness. So evolution is obviously occurring on the level of consciousness. So this whole paradigm of army and scouts and winning and blowing yourself up against the army already exists on the, you might say, psychic plane. Right? Let's see if that's so.